And thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
I'm not alone. And there are times you feel alone, but you're not alone. And God expects us really to act upon that. And as a result of His Word and what He says, that's going to make a difference in our lives. To the point that we should be able to get to the point where we live fearless. Not that there aren't some things to be afraid of. Think about today, if you've watched the news in the past week, tell me some of the things that are going on in the world that certainly stir up fear in people. Random shootings. Terrorist attacks. North Korea. Come on, shout it out. What are you hearing? Bank closing. I mean, just a lot of things that if you watch the news, it can really stir your heart to be afraid. But God expects us who are His children to actually live in a very dangerous world. But we, in spite of random shootings, in spite of terrorist attacks, in spite of bank closings, in spite of the epidemics of diseases and things that come out in this world, he knows these things are going to happen, but he expects us to live in it as a peculiar people that people are going to take notice of, that we are just not afraid like they're afraid. Amen. We're not frightened like they. We don't panic when the world panics. I mean, that's really the way it's supposed to be. If you're not there, then that's where God wants you to be. He really wants you and I to be in this place. And Psalm 91 is all about supernatural living. Amen. In a very dangerous world. Let's look at some of these verses of Scripture. If you can bring them up, let's say it out loud because it's important to speak this to ourselves, okay? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. And then tonight, the next verse, thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid. So often when Jesus stepped into the scene, He had to say, fear not. Only believe. Don't be afraid. Don't be like the rest of the world. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Live above that. You are supernatural. You are not like everybody else. You have truth from God Almighty, the Creator of the world, who knows everything that's going on in the world. You have Him living inside you, and that is supposed to make a difference, and does make a difference. And Psalm 91 boldly declares that we can live at this level. Every one of us, everyone born from above, can live this way. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul wrote at the end of the book of Romans, he wrote these words, "Now may the God of peace be with you all." Now, wait a minute. Why would he write to Christians, "The God of peace be with you"? Isn't God with us? Is He with us all the time? He is. But his manifestation of his peace is not always present in our lives as it should be. And do you know that when God manifests himself to us, most often it comes as a peace into our lives and into our soul. And he goes on to say in chapter 16, this incredible verse of scripture. Look at this. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Why does God say through the Holy Scripture, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet? Why not the God of power, the God of authority, the God of miracles, but the God of peace will crush Satan? Because Satan's most often attack against you and me is fear. Worry, anxiety, all of that is fear. What's going to happen? What will happen? What's this doctor's report going to say? And God is a God of peace, and his peace will crush fear under your feet. And God wants his peace in your life so that it'll crush every fear and that you live above the fears of the world and you're different from everybody else who doesn't have the Lord in their life. So the God of peace wants to crush every fear. He wants to crush every worry. He wants to crush every anxiety in your life. Now, notice in this verse underlined there, do you see the word grace there? The word grace is in there. And this word grace is vital, especially when you're dealing with Satan. Because grace is the only thing Satan doesn't have any defense against. That's why it's important for us to understand grace. Somebody telling me last week that since they've been coming to this church for years, that one of the greatest revelations they got out of this church was understanding of grace that they've never had before. And I didn't realize. I said, wow, really? He said, yeah, it's changed everything in my life, having this understanding that God, what God does in our lives is not a result of our performance. It's not a result of us keeping rules and legalism. God does everything by grace. And that just changes, it changed my whole life, just understanding that. And if you have a background, and I had a background like this, and probably most of us did, where it's so subtle that you can go to church, the place where you're supposed to be taught the truth, and you can learn truth, and it may not even be the church's fault, but somehow in our thinking, we get in our mind some sort of faulty understanding that, you know, I've got to earn a blessing. I've got to earn a healing. I've got to live right so that I can get God to help me fix my problems. And it's so subtle, but you're stepping out of grace and you start to get into religious performance. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be obedient. Yes, does it matter that we live obedient? Yes, it does, but it doesn't earn anything from God. And that's what grace changes everything about that. Let's say, for example, if you claim healing or God's protection on your life based upon how you've been behaving lately, then you're an easy target for the devil. Because the moment you mess up, think a wrong thought, say something or do something that you know you shouldn't do, immediately fear comes upon you and the enemy plays with your mind and he says, well, now because you've messed up, then I have an opportunity to knock you out. Now, we see it's very subtle, very subtle. And you probably, and I probably still have some of this in our mind. I catch myself from time to time going, my goodness, that is not right. For example, if you ever listen to some people pray, you'll catch it. They're praying for somebody. Lord, please help Gary. He's been so faithful. He helped so many people. You probably didn't hear what was wrong with that prayer. God, he's earned your help. Please help him. You're out of grace. You step right into religious performance. And it's so subtle. It's in our way of thinking that has to be changed. Our mind's got to be renewed. See, grace is God's undeserved favor. Totally undeserved on our part. And yet it's favor. I like how you said that. Yeah, it's totally undeserved favor, and yet it's full favor from God. God giving us what we certainly do not deserve. And the devil doesn't have any weapon for that one, if you understand grace. But if you step in works and legalism, then he can get you. And it's all in the battle of your mind. Grace is what qualifies you, not your performance. You either have to get that one or not, but it's vital that you get it. And grace is vital to understand in order to have a relationship with God. Otherwise, you always are trying to perform and trying to please God by doing things that you think that he wants you to do. And there may be good things, but you're trying to earn something. And you step out of it, and that's not the relationship you can have with God. You have a relationship with a religion, and the problem is we create a God in our own image to suit us. That's the second commandment. We create a God in our own image. We create a God that we think, well, he's like this, and you better toe the line or else he'll zap you with a lightning bolt. And look at Hebrews 4:16 up on the screen. This is out of the Amplified Version, so it's a few more words. He says, let us, that's you and me, the children of God, fearlessly, confidently, boldly draw near to this throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace or enablement to help us in time of need, whatever the need may be. This is God's word to us. You come on to the throne, but I'm not worthy. And people who don't go to the Lord's Supper table on Sunday because they say, I'm not worthy, they have totally mistranslated that scripture. In no way are you worthy in yourself ever. It's unmerited favor, but you recognize it's a throne of grace that I'm coming to. And I receive mercy and find grace to help me in time of need. It's not a throne of judgment. It's a throne of grace. Judgment's already been poured out on Jesus on our behalf. So anyway, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Someone made that acronym years ago. It's all by grace. Salvation's by grace. Healing's by grace. Enablement to help me to do what I'm trying to do right now is by grace. Deliverance is by grace. And so now going back to what Paul said, when Paul said, now may the God of peace crush Satan under your head. Paul was a Jew, was he not? So he would have said in Hebrew, the God of peace would be Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. Shalom means peace. God is Jehovah Shalom. The very first appearance of Jehovah Shalom is in the Old Testament in Judges chapter 6. I want to show you something there. In Judges chapter 6, little background, Israel, the people of God, are being terrorized by a group of people known as the Midianites, enemies of God's people. Israel's in their land, and they have gardens. That's how you had to live. Everybody had to have a garden. you had livestock or cattle or sheep. And when came time for the harvest, for you to go out and start to get your vegetables, or a group of Midianite people would raid the land. And they'd come in and absolutely just destroy, wipe out the garden and kill your livestock. And they were terrorists. And they were strong. Everybody was afraid of them. They were a vicious, mean group of people. And this went on for years and years and years. Every single time they'd start to get a harvest, like locusts, these Midianites would swarm in the land and come in and just destroy you. You say, well, I'd fight back. Well, you could try to fight back, but they'd kill you because they'd overwhelm you. They were too strong for Israel. So Israel lived in this kind of bondage. And actually, the scripture says that because Israel was living in a rebellious state, and because they didn't obey the Lord after they got into the promised land, that this was allowed by the Lord, the enemies, to come in because they weren't serving the Lord like they should serve the Lord. And so they opened the door for the enemy to come in. And so they're living this way. So you get this idea. Imagine every night you watch the news, and in your area it says another village has been burned down tonight by the Midianites. Another one next door over here, another village, another farm has been destroyed. More livestock were slaughtered today. Every night on the news you hear these stories. It was so discouraging for the people of God. They start crying out to God. They start praying. They start seeking their deliverer. God, help us. What are we going to do, God? Every time we turn around, something bad is happening. The enemy's coming in to steal, kill, and destroy. And so here's what happens. God always starts with one individual. And here the Bible introduces us to a man named Gideon. And he himself was hiding out. In fact, the Bible says he was down in a kind of a hidden place, a wine press, and he's just trying to thresh out a little bit of his wheat or corn or whatever it was he had, his crop, just to keep a living, just to be able to survive. So he's hiding out. And lo and behold, here's what happens in Judges chapter 6, verse 12. I'll read it to you. And the angel of the Lord, and by the way, anytime you see the word angel of the Lord, that's usually a term for a pre-incarnate Christ. So it was really Jesus who showed up. And so the angel of the Lord here, it says, appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." Well, just the presence of the Lord appearing while you're hiding out would kind of shock you in the first place. But to stand up and say, God's with you. He's with you. It may not look like he's with you, but he's with you, and you are a mighty man of courage. And here's what, well, let me just say this to you and to me. God does not see us as we see ourselves. I don't think of myself as a mighty man of valor sometimes, or a mighty man of courage, and I'm sure you don't either sometimes, but God looks at us and says, no, because I'm with you, my presence makes a difference in your life, whether you know it or not. And God says, you're a mighty man of valor. You're a mighty man of God. Okay. If you say so, Lord. So it's important that we understand it's not how we see ourselves sometimes that defines us. It's how Jesus sees us that defines us. And he obviously sees us different than we see ourselves most of the time. So I say this tonight to encourage you, no matter how you've messed up in your life, or no matter how many times you've failed, the Lord sees the best in you. He does. He sees the best in you. Now, look at Gideon's response in verse 13, if you got your Bible there. Gideon said to him, Well, Lord, if the Lord's with us, then why is all this bad stuff happening? Have you ever said that? I have. Well, God, if you called me to do this, and if we're here, and this is where I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm doing what, then why is all this bad stuff happening? Where are all the miracles? Where's the signs and wonders, God? So here's a man that God has actually appeared to him, and what is the first thing he does? He's complaining to God. He's looking at the circumstances, and he's complaining, and he just says, God, if you're really with us, then we should be doing better. It's interesting to me that God calls a man who's already hiding from an enemy and tells him that God, he's going to use him to actually deliver Israel. God calls people that we would not think are worthy of the call. He uses people that we wouldn't choose. And so he calls a man who's already hiding himself, and now this man's complaining to God. And now God says to this man that he's going to be the one that's going to actually save Israel. We need to stop there and think about it. God is so different than we are. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. He calls things that are not as though they were. Romans 4:17. He calls things that are not as though they were. You're a mighty man of valor. You're a mighty man and woman of God. Oh, no, I'm not. Well, yes, you are, because God says you are. See, if as you and I receive a revelation of how God is the God of peace, he's the God of shalom, he's Jehovah Shalom, even if we're not living like he is with us, even if we're not living in the victory that he says is ours, God will use us and make something out of our lives to be a testimony for his glory. Because it's really all about him. It's not really about us. Now, Gideon was still afraid, even though God was talking to him. And so he asked God for a sign. I don't recommend you do this, but he asked God for a sign to confirm. Am I out of my mind? Am I having a dream? Am I hallucinating? Lord, if this is really you, then give me a sign that you're really speaking to me. And so he said, okay, yeah, make a sacrifice, build an altar. And so he goes and he makes a sacrifice and does it just like the Lord says. And then as soon as he's got the sacrifice prepared, the Lord appears and comes, and with a staff, he touches that sacrifice and poof, fire, smoke, boom. And Gideon is pretty impressed. In fact, back in those days, people thought if you ever saw the Lord, you're going to die. And so now Gideon knows that he has seen the Lord, and he thinks that I'm going to die. This is it. My day is over with. And the Lord says to him in Judges 6:23, he says to him, Shalom, peace, Gideon. Peace be unto you. Do not fear. You're not going to die. And there Gideon built an altar to the Lord, another altar, and there he called it, come on, Jehovah Shalom. First time we see this in the Bible. He got a revelation of God that no one else had. He had an understanding that God is Jehovah Shalom. He is a God of peace. And later on, too much time to go into it now, you can read it tonight, God led Gideon to trust him. And Gideon was led to conquer the Midianites as one man. And supernaturally, God did things through Gideon. And so, like Gideon, you and I at one time or another are going to be surrounded by some enemies. Maybe it's a spirit of fear that's trying to attack you in the middle of the night. Maybe it's a fear of attacks, or maybe it's a fear of disease. Or maybe you get a report of, oh, maybe you got cancer, or you got this because this, you know, your mom died of this, your dad died, same thing's coming on you. And then what are you going to do? You got something that Gideon didn't have. You got Psalm 91. It's in your arsenal. Go get it. Pull it out. Put it to use. Psalm 91, verse 5, it's where we are tonight. It says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. It's interesting. This is talking about fear. A spirit of fear tries to come up on every one of us in some way or another. I guarantee you this week, you have had some kind of attack from a spirit of fear in some way. To cause anxiety, to cause doubt, to cause worry, cause stress. The doctor says, well, I've done a checkup on you, but we need to run some more tests because something looks a little suspicious. And you ought to say, as a believer, knowing Psalm 91 and knowing the God of peace with you, and he'll crush Satan under your feet, you ought to say, well, doctor, that's fine. Do whatever test you need to do. That's fine. But I'm not going to be afraid of disease. I'm not going to be afraid of any report because I'm not going to be afraid of anything that walks in darkness. That's what Psalm 91, verse 5 and 6 says. Something that walks in darkness is things you don't know. And the Lord tells you clearly in Psalm 91, do not be afraid of terror by night, the arrow that flies by day, for the pestilence that walks in darkness, the disease that walks in darkness. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear come in. Fear is the enemy. Fear is a spirit from the devil. Don't let that come in your heart. Okay, we have to deal with something. We may have to face something. We may have to go through something. But don't let fear get in your heart. Guard your heart. Fear is a spiritual attack, and that's the way you got to see it. Now, you're a supernatural being. You live in a natural world where all kinds of disasters and tragedies and bad things happen in this world. But you've got something that most people don't have. You got Psalm 91. But it won't do you any good sitting in the arsenal. You got to pull it out, and there are going to be times you need to speak it. Listen, fear usually comes 99.9 times as a thought to you in your mind. Fear is a thought, a suggestion that it sounds like it's your thought, but it's actually the enemy using the sound of your voice in your head and sending it to you and making you think. And then if you grab hold of that and you start to say it and confess it, then you own it. And so when fear attacks you in any form, I'm not going to have enough money. I don't know how we're going to pay this bill. I don't know what we're going to do with this doctor. I don't know what's going to happen. When fear attacks your thoughts, this is vital that you do this. You have got to not fight thoughts with thoughts, but you fight thoughts with words, spoken words. Speak to that thought. Quote this verse right here. I will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that waits. I will not be afraid. Say it. Don't just think it. Because your thoughts are not powerful enough just in themselves to combat Satan. You combat Satan by speaking the word of God. And your speaking out loud will crush Satan under your feet. I guarantee you. It'll do it. It will do it. So I don't know what everybody here is facing, but you've got some sort of anxiety that's coming against you. That's the devil. Crush it. By speaking the word of God. You go right ahead, honey. All right, say what?
I just have to tell you what my version says. It's the New American Standard, and it says, don't be afraid of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. It stalks. Now, you think about the enemy, and he stalks us all day, but he really stalks us at night because we're more vulnerable at night. So he's stalking you. And it says, don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of that. But so when I read that, I thought, that's just exactly what he does, because he's like that. He is just like that. He's a stalker. And if he were walking around here in skin, he'd be put in prison. And so I just say, we need to be the ones to put him in prison. And we need to take control of that. You don't let him do that. Oh, no, you go to prison, buddy. Sorry, I found you out. You're not allowed to do that. So
fear is a spirit. That's good. It stalks you. You are never more vulnerable than when you sleep. When you sleep, you're very vulnerable. That's why you have maybe fearful nightmares or dreams. And sometimes that's just the enemy coming. So I want to encourage you, please, before you go to bed at night, don't let the news be the last thing that you watch. I mean, you can watch the news, but then shut it off and spend a moment or two at least going over Psalm 91 and speak it out loud, meditate on it, think on it. But let the last thing that stays in your head before you go to sleep be the word, because that'll stay in your subconscious throughout the night. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, now the Amplified says this, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Is that clear? Could you understand that? Do I need to interpret that for you? About anything. So if I have any anxiety about anything, then I don't believe that. He said, do not fret, but in every circumstance and everything by prayer and petition, definite request with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace shall be yours that transcends all understanding. It shall garrison and mount a guard over your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. There's one right there. There's your prescription for tonight right there. So in the natural, there's always going to be things to be afraid of. Always. We need to guard against the spirit of fear. And I heard Kenneth Copeland, and he's absolutely right about this. He's talking about how you should never, ever allow a spirit of fear in your home, like watching a movie that would, you know, cause horror movies or scare children and things like that. No. The spirit of fear will get in any way, even through cartoons and stuff. You should never let that happen. You need to guard yourself against that. And God wants his kids to live differently. Do you believe that? God is Jehovah Shalom. And one of the ways Jehovah Shalom leads us in this life is with peace. If you're making a decision about something, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I take this job? Should I not take this job? Lord, I come to you and I ask you, Father, to give me guidance and direction. Jehovah Shalom, lead me and wait upon the Lord. And if your heart does not have God's peace about that, do not do it. I don't care what the numbers say or what other people tell you. Don't do it. But if God's peace is there, that's your indication. Go keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Jesus expects his presence to make a difference in our lives. I don't know what you're facing this week or what you're about to face, but he expects his presence to make a difference. We will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrows or the terrorists that fly by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, or the destruction. We're not going to be afraid. You can be afraid, but we're not going to be afraid. How can you say you're not going to be afraid? Because Jehovah Shalom's with me. Well, you could die. Well, if I die, I die in him. Now, see, we either believe that or not. In this coming a day, we're going to have to be tested on that. We have a hiding place, a refuge from the storm. Jesus said this. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So let not your heart be troubled. Neither, what? What? Speak up. Don't let it be afraid. Who controls that? You do. You do. Supernatural peace is available to you. It's available right now. And you don't have to earn it. It's available. Jehovah Shalom wants to fill your heart and fill your mind so that you live so different from the world that people look at you as a fearless person. And they envy what you have and they say, I want what you got. Well, here's our confession of faith. Let's all stand up. It's important to speak this into our lives. And you've had teaching tonight. You've had wonderful worship. You got to get this in your life so that you put it into practice tonight, tomorrow, and as needed. Okay. Let's say it together. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler. He covers me with His mercy and grace. I will not be afraid. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. Jesus told me that He gave me His peace, and I have it. He told me not to let my heart be troubled or be afraid. And by His grace, my heart will not be troubled or afraid of anything. God calls me a mighty one of courage. Go back there. You cut us off a little too soon. There you go. God calls me a mighty one of courage, and that is who I am. Move over, fear, because a child of God is here. Amen. Amen. Now lift your hands and just receive. Father, thank you. God of peace, come and rule in my heart and my mind. Forgive me for worry. Forgive me for doubting you. Forgive me for prayerlessness, Lord. You have forgiven me. I come to a throne of grace, and I ask you now, Lord, to rule and reign in my life. Garrison my heart and my mind, that I live relaxed. I live in faith. I live in rest. And I live in your shalom. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.